Today we're going to continue our study that we've been doing on lessons learned from Israel's wilderness journey. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just ask that you would bless the lesson today and pray, Lord, that you would minister to us individually as only you can through your holy words. Father, give us teachable hearts and spirits today, Lord. And Father, just have your will and your way in this study today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I want us to read that again together. The Word of God says this: There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, there are some obvious questions which arise upon hearing this truth. How will I know this way of escape? And how do I take this way out? Simply put, we must so fill our hearts and minds with the Word of God that we will know instantly whether or not something pleases or displeases Him. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 11 directs, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You see, my dear listeners, when we have filled our minds with the thoughts of Jesus Christ and brought our views on everything into line with His will and His ways, He may then teach us how to respond in each situation. As 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 puts it, For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Then, of course, I must have confidence in God, believing that his way is best and right. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 counsels the tempted soul, and the Word of God says, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Countless times each day the path of life forks, and a divided road before us has an option to the right as well as one to the left. Now, the experienced traveler has learned to read the choices, for God has placed clear markers at all such junctions. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, the Word of God says, In thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. A sign pointing the road of sin will warn of those who leave the paths of unrighteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, according to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 13. One pointing to the way of escape will read, Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Standing tall before us is one declaring, But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It would also seem that the word escape carries with it an implication with regard to our view of temptation and sin. We would not think of escape when thinking of a hamburger, a good night's sleep, a comfortable pair of shoes, or a vacation. No, escape calls to mind a burning building, a sinking ship, a knife-wielding mugger, or a rattlesnake. Would we not live more fruitful lives if we viewed temptation not as something to be entertained, but as something from which to flee? We are told to flee fornication in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Flee from idolatry, 1 Corinthians 10, 14. Flee also useful lusts, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. And flee the love of money, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 to 11. Where are we to run from these snares as we would? Those things we perceive to be dangerous, the way of escape would open wide before us, and we would never fail to find it, amen. Those who counted the words of God to be lies and acted contrary to his truth were warned. Listen to what the word of God says. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. A similar thought is given us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? One more time the idea is driven home, this time from Hebrews 12:25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. I want you to observe carefully that each of these verses address people who were given a way out but lacked the faith or desire to take it. The doom in the Thessalonian verse and the damned in the first of the Hebrews references both were given an escape route which they refused to take. There was no predetermination on the part of a loving and holy God which forced anyone to sin. Rather, the rejection of the Lord in favor of something which displeased him resulted in the first sin and every transgression since. Amen. Let us rejoice and give thanks in knowing that there will never be a temptation put before us that we cannot bear, from which we cannot escape. My dear listeners, may we love the Lord so much and trust him so fully that we will always choose the way of life he so graciously provides for us. We do not need to live a series of falls and recoveries. You see, my dear friend, every present victory is available to all who desire to live therein. Now, the verse that we've been dealing with, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. It's time to dwell deeply upon the grand truth. God is faithful. and we need only to define the word to find our hearts full of praise and joy. Now, one who is faithful is firm in adherence to the truth and to duty. You see, God is faithful. He can be trusted. One who is faithful is possessed of true fidelity and allegiance. God is faithful, my dear listeners. He will not abandon us or fail to keep any promise made to us. One who is faithful is constant in the performance of duties or services. Again, God is faithful. You see, He never takes a day off from loving, providing, protecting, and all the great things He does for us. One who is faithful is exact in attending to commands as a faithful servant. Yes, God is faithful. There is not a righteous statute He has put in place or an act of holiness He has called for which He does not perform completely. Amen. One who is faithful is observant of compact, treaties, contracts, vows, or other engagements, true to one's word. Yes, God is faithful. We have absolute assurance of life, of abundant life, eternal life, and more, because everything promised by the Lord will be done in full. Amen. One who is faithful is exact in conformity to the letter and spirit as a faithful execution of a will. Again, God is faithful. He planned and acted and will carry out every detail of the New Testament in accord with His heart of love and per every jot and tittle of His written word. One who is faithful is true to the marriage covenant as a faithful wife or husband. God is faithful. The church is His espoused bride, and He will purify her, preserve her, present her, and dwell with her forever in a place of preparation. One is faithful, is constant, not fickle. Again, God is faithful. As a father, friend, shepherd, priest, minister, captain, yea, in all His many offices. You see, my dear listeners, He does not waver, and He does not change. He is the eternal I Am. Finally, one who is faithful is worthy of trust and belief. God is faithful. We can put the full weight of our trust in Him. And yes, my dear listeners, and we will never, ever be disappointed. Now that we have defined God in His attribute of faithful, let us consider some of what the Scripture says about the aspects of His person. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, the Word of God states wonderfully, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." This is matched in the New Testament, where 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9 declares, "God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son Jesus Christ our Lord. His words, His ways, and His teachings may all be trusted." We read in Psalm 119, verse 86, "All thy commandments are faithful." In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 5, the Word of God says, "A faithful witness will not lie." Psalm 119, verse 138, the Word of God says, "Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Amen. Now, despite all their centuries of failure, Israel is repeatedly redeemed and eternally preserved because of the Lord's faithfulness. Listen to what Isaiah 49, verse 7 says. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, he shall choose thee. The same is true of the Christian in this present day. We are strengthened, are we not, by the promise of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And by the promise of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. My dear listeners, it's a sad reality that we do not match the definition of faithful as set forth above. Yet the Lord knew that and gave us the following rock upon which to stand. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. Our shortcomings do not change him. Hallelujah for that, amen. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Isn't that incredible? The one who made all things will be true through all the troubles and trials of life. Yes, my dear listener, he is dependable in everything, large or small. The Word of God says in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. As a man on this earth, he has experienced the temptations and trials which we face. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. My dear friend, there is no one better suited to help in our times of temptation than the one who has been victorious over them all. He is faithful to do all he has said he would do. Sarah and many others learned to trust him. We read in Hebrews 11, verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him what? Faithful, who had promised. Likewise, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Since Jesus Christ is faithful, according to Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, bearing the name faithful and true, Revelation 19, 11, let us fully follow the admonition to all saints to commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. 1 Peter chapter 4, 19. Let us think about this attribute of God in light of our study. The children of Israel sinned often, did they not? In the wilderness, because they did not trust God to be faithful in his promise to bring them to the land of Canaan. They also sinned repeatedly by failing to be faithful to the covenant that they had made with the Lord. We see how easy it would have been for them to experience one victory after another. But their lack of trust made it a long and most unpleasant journey. We also marvel at the way God continued to bless and watch over them. Even while they were forcing him to use the chastening rod upon their rebel backs. We shall meet with as many opportunities for success and failure as did those ancient people. And when we put our trust in the unchanging God, he will help us and enable us to stand victorious over sin. When we refuse to depend on him, amen, when we refuse to depend on him, we will plunge headlong into failure after failure. Yet the moment we cry out to him, our faithful Father will temper chastening with love and will keep every promise he has ever made to us, despite the mess we make out of the journey. Remember this, on the mountaintop or in the valley, dear listener, let us take hope in this remarkable truth. God is faithful. Amen. Now, before we move on from this great Corinthian passage, there's something else which demands our attention. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, we read, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Amen. Now, it seemed good to me to give some thought to the matter of standing as it is used in the Word of God. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Romans chapter 14, verse 4 tells us, "Who art thou that judgest another manservant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 37, the words of God say, "Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hast so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well." Now we begin with these three verses, for they establish a pattern for the others we will consider, as well for those we will not explore together. In the verse from Psalms, Psalm 1:1, we learn that blessings result from choosing to stand in the right place with the right people. The verse from Romans, Romans 14:4, we learn that a person making such proper choices will be given strength by God, which will enable him to stand. And in the verse from 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 37, we learn that standing requires determination of the heart, submission of the will, and a devotion to purpose. You see, my dear listener, all of these factors must be found in combination to keep one from falling. We stand or fall based on whether or not God holds us up. He holds us up when we make up our mind to stand in the right place and refuse to deviate from that decision. In the Word of God, we read of men standing for the following purposes: to minister and offer sacrifices before the Lord. In Hebrews 10, verse 11. To teach people the truth of the gospel. In Acts chapter 5, verse 25. To cry aloud and give the good news to the lost. In Acts 24, 21. To engage in spiritual battle with the wicked. Exodus chapter 8, verse 20. To behold the glory of the Lord. In Exodus 33, verse 21. To minister to a congregation of God's people. Numbers chapter 16, verse 9. To oppose workers of iniquity. Psalm 94, verse 16. To proclaim the word of the Lord to false worshipers. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 2, and Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 2. And to bear witness to the truth, Acts 25, 10. Oh, how happy we would be if we could come to the end of our days and point to a life characterized by these 9 standards. What a praiseworthy list of places to plant one's feet, amen. Now let's consider some instructions we are given with regard to standing before God and man. First, without our sins being forgiven and cleansed away by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we could never stand before God. Psalm 130, verse 3 says, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? The obvious answer is no one. Amen? This is how we know that the judgment seat of Christ is only for saved people. Romans chapter 14, verse 10 says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the humbling truth here is that we will stand before the Savior. The blessed truth here is that we will stand, for this could only be possible if our sins have been paid for in full. This truth is borne out by Psalm 24, verses 3 to 5. The Word of God says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. No one has hands sufficiently clean or a heart sufficiently pure to stand in God's presence. And no soul is fully free of vanity or deceit. But the man or woman who has been given righteousness from a saving God does stand. Since we are saved, we are told to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. This standing must be in accord with the faith, the body of beliefs and principles set forth in the Word of God. A similar command in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15 reads, therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Well, we're just about run out of time today. I hope that you'll join me next time as we continue our study on lessons learned from Israel's wilderness journey.